Fantastic. Was the worship not amazing? I say it every time I get up here. I really do find that something supernatural happens when we get into that place with God in worship. I've given the title of my message, Swept Away. Last week, Pedro spoke about overwhelmed. What happens when life is overwhelming and you feel like, God, I just don't know if I can continue here? This morning, I'm going to talk about what happens when we're swept away. We feel like we're being swept away. On the 26th of December, 2004, the world was shaken and shocked when it turned on its TV to hear the news of the Boxing Day tsunami. Can anyone remember that? It was unbelievable. It was like a surreal moment when we turned on our TV. What had happened was that there was an earthquake 160 kilometers out in the ocean, and there was a shift in the ocean floor resulting in an earthquake that measured 9.1 on the Richter scale. That earthquake caused a 30-meter wall of seawater to hit the coastline of 14 nations, with Indonesia experiencing being the hardest hit, followed by Sri Lanka, India, and Thailand. And it was insane devastation and destruction that was unfolding before our eyes. You know that 230,000 people were wiped out in one day. It was just mind-blowing. The force of the tsunami was equivalent to 25,000 atom bombs like those that were dropped on Hiroshima. That wall of water, going at the speed of a jetliner, traveled 2 kilometers inland, and it swept absolutely everything that was in its path. Animals and people and trees and buildings and trains and cars and trucks and ships were swept onshore. Everything was swept away in that devastating Boxing Day tsunami. Why am I telling you this? Why am I telling you an illustration like this? Because you know what? The truth is this, church, that there is a tsunami that has hit our world and the world of our children and our teens. And our youth and our children feel like they're being swept away by a tsunami that has hit. We need to just open up our newspapers, turn on our TV screen, and immediately we are bombarded like a barrage of news on violence that is happening on our schools. It's just such the norm. South African schools are regarded as the unsafest place for our children. That's the statistic that is out there. Sexual inappropriateness and activity that's happening on the primary schools, amongst our church children and youth. Drug addictions. Our children, families in this church, families in our community and surrounding communities that have been gripped by this horrendous thing called drugs, drug addictions. Depression on an epic scale. Amongst our children, amongst our teens, amongst our adults, on an epic scale, as children are being medicated to deal with that feeling of being overwhelmed by life. Suicide, the breakdown of respect for any form of authority at home and at school. It's like, who are you to tell me? A tsunami that has hit our children, this generation, the millennial generation, referred to as the IY generation. This generation feel like they're being swept away, a generation that we call to love, we call to mentor, we call to come alongside, we call to inspire, to give hope to help them to believe and dream that there is a future out there. This wave that is sweeping our children and our youth, and God calls us as Edge Church. God has put a mandate on us as Edge Church here in Edgemead and in our Malpas congregation. He commands us to step up and to use every opportunity to save the future of this generation. Everything that we can do, and we will use anything that is within appropriate boundaries and biblical boundaries to reach this generation. Call to love them. Help them to dream again. We're called to give them an anchor. Parents, you are called, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are called to help your child know that the anchor is Jesus. You call to give them an anchor. You call to instruct them in the things of God and the ways of God. You call to do that. We will journey with you. We will partner with you. We will connect church and home, but you called as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus to do that. You know that sociologists tell us that there are four realities that describe this generation. This generation of our youth and children. Number one, this is what describes them. This is their reality. It describes their reality. They are overwhelmed. That is a fact. Studies tell us that 94% of students feel overwhelmed by their lifestyle, by the choices, the pressure, the peer pressure. They are overwhelmed. Up to 44% have felt depressed and experience difficulty in functioning. And the alarming thing is that 10% have considered suicide in 1 year alone. Overwhelmed. It was during, after the first service, I was outside having coffee, getting to say hi to some folk, and a school teacher came up to me. She was in the service, came up to me, and she does extra maths. She's been doing it for years. Many people, if I said her name, would know who she is, because your children have been with her as well. And she came to me and she said, thank you for giving language to what I was seeing happening with these children. I see children that are overwhelmed. It's like they shut down, like they disconnected, like I can't engage them. She says, that is what I, it was just not too long ago that it was a different kind of child that I was dealing with, but the child I'm dealing with today is overwhelmed, shut down. I can't even connect with them. And she always taught in a fun way and got to know her students. It's different. A tsunami is hitting our children. The second reality that describes them is not only are they overwhelmed, but they're overconnected to a virtual world and yet underconnected to the real world. Struggle to have a face-to-face conversation. Their connection is to social media, to texting, to Facebook, Twitter, not the real world. And some of us adults, we also overconnected. Don't know how to have face-to-face conversations. There are the realities that they're overprotected. You know these heli, have you heard of the phrase that talk about helicopter parents? I've been guilty of that. We helicopter over our children to see that they are safe. We helicopter over them to see that everything is all right and that the world is comfortable and cushy. I've been guilty of that. And this generation know more about safety belts, safety policies, helmets. Parents overprotect them and we shield them from financial realities, and they struggle to connect with the challenges that will await them. It is waiting for them. Their overserved generation is their fourth reality in how we describe this generation. Overserved. As much as we as parents want to love them, our problem is we overdote on them. We are ridiculous in terms of our parenting. I've been guilty of that. There are more TV channels devoted to children than ever before. There are more retail stores targeting children, clothing, and the marketers focus on them and we fall for it. And it's into this reality, the truth is that is sweeping our children away, that we are called as the church of God to lift our gaze and to believe God for this generation and say so we're not going to allow it to happen. Not on our watch. Parents, we have a responsibility. We call to take every opportunity to reach them, to touch their life. And you know what? You look at some of them and they look messed up and broken. We are called to reach across and to touch their life. Get involved with their world that is pretty, pretty crazy. They're having to deal with the challenges of high divorce rates. Parents who are opting and jumping out of one relationship and they have multiple parents and people involved in their life. That's their reality. This is how we've parented them. This is the world that we've left them. Yes. I'm not looking to blame, to accuse. Hey, as parents, we carry truckloads of guilt. This is not what I'm doing here this morning. I'm not here to look for a scapegoat, but what I want to say is we must do something to touch them, to reach them, to rescue their future that is looking pretty dim. That's why over the last 25 years, our church, Edge Church, has invested into the next generation. We're all about the next generation. What happens on stage here with the lights and the smoke and the activity center is all about the next generation. We're unapologetic about it. That has always been our vision, always been our focus. And somebody might say, but why are you not focusing on the oldies? You know what? We do love them. We do. We do provide. But you know, these oldies are passionate about the next generation as we are. So they come and they sit and you think, does this always do it for them, worship? No, but they're glad to see what's happening amongst the youth and the children. They are. Amen. Amen. And we've planted seeds of hope, seeds of faith. We've seen them grow. We've invested millions into this facility. You might think, what is it all about? It's about the next generation. We will do whatever we can to reach them. The kind of equipment to save the next generation, to touch them. And we've seen that many have been discipled from a young age going, and many of them going on for God. They might not be within the four walls of the church, and many of them are here, that have come through the doors of the church at a very young age, been discipled. Some of them are in Zambia as missionaries. Others are pastors. There's a young woman with her children in the UK who's a street pastor. Others who are serving on schools and in businesses, that have come through the ranks of the church, that we've discipled, we've invested. We said we are intentional about our next generation. And so we've discipled from a young age. But there have also been prodigals, kids that have come through the ranks of the church and have drifted and have wandered away and said, oh, no, that's not for me. That thing is just a crutch. I don't really need God in my world now. I've got it all together here. Do you know what we call to still love them, to create a space for them, to be welcoming when they come back in with their children? Because that's when you see them return to church. When the children are there on the scene, you're saying, you know what, I want to give them a better chance. I want them to get connected to the Creator so they come back. And we're welcoming of that. We're welcoming of that. We see parents bring their little one back into the life of the church where they once were little and young themselves. This weekend, Pedro and I got to spend some time with our next-gen leaders, and there were some oldies there. They sat in a little corner, and we acknowledged them and their role that they play, and we need the experience of the older and the wisdom of the older folk. And we got to spend time. Pedro was in Summer Greens with the Holiday Club there, and I was with our Edgemead crowd as they were preparing, using this weekend for training and setting up the decor. Over 230 volunteers who are training this weekend. What's this all about? It's about saying that we know there's a tsunami that has hit our world, but we're going to do everything that we can to reach them and to connect and to touch with them. The wonderful thing is I'm so excited that many of us, we as a church, have got behind Holiday Club. Everybody is playing their part. We're going to, a little while, Wayne spoke about it, and we've given you a heads up, and we're going to take up an offering. We're not ashamed to actually ask people to give. What are you sowing into? You're sowing into the next generation. We are planting seeds. We're not asking you. This is not a giving. This is not about your tithes. This is about saying, God, I'm going to take the seed that you've given me. I'm not going to eat it and consume it. I'm in fact going to take it and I'm going to put it in the ground. And I'm expecting a harvest and a great harvest for the next generation. We are. Amen. We are. We believe in God for that. The truth of the matter is, we don't want this generation to be swept away. And I've taken a hold of the anchor verse of Holiday Club 2014 that speaks into this thing of when we feel like we're being swept away. The key verse that this Holiday Club is anchored on, and it's out of Hebrews chapter 16, and verses 18b through to verse 19 is going to come on the screen. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things aren't changeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. This hope is an anchor for our souls, is the verse of Holiday Club, and it's the verse that I want to anchor my message in so that we are not swept away when life storms come lashing at our door. Because it does. It comes unexpectedly. Do you think those people in Indonesia and India were expecting a tsunami? It came out of the blue, out of nowhere. Those rogue waves that you think, my goodness, everything was fine and we were having a fantastic holiday. For this generation, church, church, age, church, for this generation not to be swept away, we need to help them. We need to direct them. We need to tell young people and our children that they can put their trust in God, that they can experience and know God as one who is reliable, who is trustworthy, that they can turn to Him at any given moment, that when they are feeling overwhelmed and mom and dad are fighting and the bombs are falling in their home, that they can learn. And parents, it's our responsibility, and we will do all that we can at Edge Church to help your children to establish a strong foundation that's going to help them to tackle the life and challenges. We will do all that we can, but it's our responsibility as parents to teach them that they can put their trust in God. That's faith at home. We will help you, you help us, but we can't teach your child to have a relationship with God. We can only help you to model that, to live that at home, to help them understand that they can have a confidence in God as they face their future. That it might look dismal out there, and are we even going to get a job? No, there is a future for you. This is why we do holiday clubs. This is why we have our Friday programs. This is why we have our Sunday programs. That's why we sow, we give, because we are investing in their future. But we want you as parents, we want you as people, followers of Jesus Christ, partners of Edge Church, we want you to know that God can be your anchor as well. That you can know Him as one who is trustworthy, one who is reliable, God who is our sure foundation. So how do we withstand being swept away? How do we rescue our children from being swept away? How do we as parents not feel like we are being swept away? Because we feel like that. Talk to any parent out there. Overwhelmed. Overwhelmed in how to parent. Overwhelmed in terms of the what's out there as their children have to go out into the world, overwhelmed. Last week, Pedro spoke about when we are overwhelmed, what's the first thing we do? Pardon? We turn. And that's, what's the second thing we do when we're overwhelmed? We trust God. That's what we do. This morning, when we feel like we're being swept away, this is the one thing that we do. Number one, are you ready for it? For a deep truth from God's word, you turn. You turn. You turn to God who is your anchor. We who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a trustworthy anchor for our souls. You know the main reason why a ship needs an anchor? It's so that it can ride out a storm, because ships hit storms when they're out on the ocean. And when there's a storm coming, they drop their anchor and they know that they're secure and they can withstand the storm that is beating against the ship. But you know the other thing is, why you need an anchor? You know that even when you're in a harbor, when a ship is in a harbor, you've got to drop anchor. That's what you've got to do. You know why? So that in the harbor, we drop our anchor so that we don't drift. And I want to encourage parents here this morning. I want to encourage you as Edge Church partners. I want to encourage you as followers of Jesus Christ. Don't drift in your faith. Throw that anchor out. Know that you have an anchor in Jesus Christ. You say, how do I stay anchored in Christ? Get into the Word of God. Get daily into the Word of God. Start building a relationship with Him as you turn to Him in prayer, as you connect with Him, as you read the Word, as you write down the promises and say, God, this is what I'm holding onto. All around me might feel insecure and uncertain and shaky right now, and it might look like a devastating tsunami has hit upon my shore, but I can turn to know You and know that You are my anchor in life. I can know that. The second thing we do when we feel like we're being swept away, you know what we do? We trust. We turn with a confidence to God and we trust Him because He will. He's a God who never lies. He is truth. His word is absolute. His word is truth. His word is absolute. absolute. It is impossible for God to lie. Listen to verse 18. God has given us both his promise and his oath. He's given us his promise. Here's a promise, his word. Are you saying I'm waiting for a promise from God? Well, get into the word and he'll speak to you. And then you can take what God has spoken to you and you can write down your little verses like Pedro does. He's got it on him in your wallet. And as he's having his regular daily, every day, connect with God, reading every day, not rifling through the pages of God, give me a promise, God, give me. No, no. Just every day as he meets with God through the word and through prayer. Something is lifted. Hey, Wilson, something happens. He writes it down and he keeps it. And then he reads it and he repeats it and he memorizes it. And when he's feeling like, whoa, I'm feeling a little shaky here, he says it, he speaks it up. That's our sure foundation and our anchor. That's our anchor. That's what we do. When we feel overwhelmed, that is when we turn and we trust and we hold on to the promises of God. As a family, we feel like we're pretty overwhelmed right now. As Pedro has to walk his cancer journey, that's pretty overwhelming. We don't know what's waiting down there. We don't know what the treatment is going to hold. We don't know what the side effects are. We don't know how long it's going to take. But all we're saying is, God, that today you're in our anchor. We can turn to you. We can trust you. We know your promises for our lives. When Job, when the good news came, when the bad news kept coming and they kept coming, he says, God, I'm turning to you. You're my anchor. You're my anchor. I trusted you with my life 30 odd years ago. I'm going to trust you for today, and I'm going to trust you for the future, and I'm going to trust you on this journey that you're calling to me to walk. Verse 15 refers to Abraham, who waited patiently when God gave him a promise. He waited with expectancy. He received the promise. You know, when you read that verse in Hebrews chapter 16, by the way, when the writer of the book of Hebrews was writing, he was actually writing to a group of people that were persecuted and found themselves in really hard times. And he was writing saying, God is your anchor. That is your hope. You don't need to worry. You don't need to stress. God is your anchor. And when God gave the promise to Abram, you know, Abram actually had quite a long wait before he saw the fulfillment. 25 years. Yeah, the fulfillment of the promise. But he received it. We can trust him as we turn to him. We can trust his promises and his word. Two immutable things that give us assurance. See, God's promises, for God cannot lie. And God's oath, for God cannot change. That's the message. Parents, if you want to help your children to have an anchor in life, you model it to them. Let them see how you're living. Let them see that when news, bad news has come your way, what's your first response? My mom and dad turns to God. Or my mom, if it's a single parent, my mom turns to God. My mom turns to God. My dad turns to God. Let them see that. When I see, and by the way, parents, don't pretend that everything's hunky-dory. If you're struggling, be honest, don't cover up. Our children know when we are in conflict with each other. They do know. Your children know. But be honest and turn to God and trust him. That's the message we must give to the next generation. That's what we want every parent to have, that you know you can turn to God, that you can trust him, that he is your anchor. We're called to withstand us, the tsunami that is hit. We're called to help our children to say, I want you to know that you can turn to God. I want you to know that you can trust God. Our responsibility is that that's what we're going to do. I want to end by telling a story, an illustration that, in fact, I read. It's an old-fashioned story and a story from a long time ago. And I've heard it. It's a story told of a policeman who one day found a body floating in a body of water in his little village. And he went to and pulled the body out and thought, well, maybe it's somebody in the village would recognize who the person is and come and claim the body. And nobody claimed the body. And so the villagers got together and put a coffin together and buried the body. The very next day, another body washed up in their little village. And they thought, okay, let's see if anybody knows who this person belongs to. Nobody recognizes. So the villagers buried that person as well. And for the next day and the next day, for a month, bodies every day just kept washing down into the body of water in their village. And so the policeman decided, you know what, hang on. Where are these bodies coming from? So what he decided to do was to take a hike, a 4 kilometer hike on the foothill, up to the foothills. And it was on that hike, as he got 4 kilometers up and he got to the where the river stream was coming down, he saw that the footbridge where people, the travelers crossed, he saw the footbridge had been broken. And people who were trying to get across that bridge were being swept away and swept down into their village. And this is how the bodies landed up in the village. You know, and I thought immediately of our children that are being swept away. What is our role? Our role is to build a bridge. Our role is to go take a long hike up to the foothills and go and fix that bridge. That's what we call to do as the church. To go and fix that bridge, to go and be a bridge builder to the children and to the youth. And church, we have an opportunity to do that through a holiday club. We do it every year. Every year. Why would we put ourselves through something like that? Why? Because we believe it's that way we can, in that way we can be a bridge builder and have an opportunity to rescue this generation, an overwhelmed generation. A generation who is anxious and insecure and medicated to the hilt from being swept away. Let's do that. Let's do the hard walk of trudging up and going to go fix that bridge and say no more. No more do we want to see bodies floating down this river. No more do we want to see our children's future in jeopardy. We're going to do all that we can as the church to save their future. And Holiday Club is an opportunity for us to do it. Our Friday ministry is an opportunity for us to do it. Sunday night, for those who have never been here on a Sunday night, it's another opportunity for us to do that, where we get an opportunity to pray and to sow into giving. That's what it's about. That's what the Holiday Club offering is about. It's an opportunity to sow. Pedro's going to come up here. And we're going to take our moment, a moment in the service, to pray for our volunteers. Those are going to be serving. It's a massive investment. A lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of money goes into Holiday Club. A lot of volunteers, a lot of hours. Preparation that started last year already. Why? Because we said as Edge Church, we're going to rebuild that bridge that is broken. We're tired of seeing the bodies of our youth gripped by drugs, gripped by insecurity and anxiety. We are tired of it.
Barbie, as long as this church has stood, and even before that, we heard God speak to us that we would always light a candle in the darkness and not curse it. We would be the ones who would step in. And I recount, and Barbie and I have been here for connected to this church for 30 years. And I've seen the time, Michael, the energy, the finances, the resources. But I've seen the fruit. I've seen people, little people, become disciples of Jesus. I've seen how much you have sown, how much you have served, how much you've sacrificed as a congregation. But it's been worth it. We see them. We see them serving in Parliament. We see them serving in schools. We see them serving on mission fields. We see them serving here on the stage because we saw little people as valuable to God. Thank you, church.